Let's open our Bibles tonight to Acts chapter 20, if you will, please. Lord, forgive me for my folly. I've enjoyed preaching, and so many places that we do go, the missions meeting is not prepared for. Oh, let's pull out all the stops for the camp meeting, and I like camp meeting time, don't get me wrong. Now, we don't want to hold anything back when it comes to the church revival, but we're just going to give the missions conference a lick and a promise. And so many places we go, it's just like we're having just to start all over again at square one to explain missions to local churches. And I hope that you will forgive me if what I teach and preach tonight seems to be elementary. But I believe that missions begins with souls. Have you ever thought about the word missions and all the words that's in the word missions? There's the word miss. And unless somebody hears the gospel, they're going to miss heaven. Also in the word missions is the word sin and the word sins. We're all born with a sin nature. And our sin nature causes us to commit sins against God. And the only way that we're going to get a brand new nature and get our sins forgiven is we're going to have to hear the gospel. And that's what missions is all about, for the gospel to go to an unknown place that's never heard the gospel before so they can have forgiveness of their sins and get a brand new nature in Christ Jesus. Also in the word missions is the word son. And the word sons. Amen. The Son of God became the Son of Man so that sons of men could become sons of God. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Also in the word missions, and there's other words, is the simple word is. And that's a present tense word. And so the reason we're here is so that we can presently examine what we're doing for missions, you're doing for missions as a body of believers, and what we ourselves individually are doing presently for missions ourselves. This has been a week that I'm examining my heart. Our Faith Promise Missions Conference is coming up in our home church next month, and we won't be able to be there. But still and yet, it's a time for my wife and I to pray and ask the Lord. Now, Lord, by faith, what would you have for us to do for missions through our local church next year? And certainly, faith does not stand still. And faith does not go backwards. Faith always goes forward, and it also grows. And so we're praying about our faith promise for this coming year. Now, if you were with us on Sunday, we dealt with the subject of souls. Would somebody please pass the salt and please don't cut out the light, and enjoyed preaching in the service last night in regards to faith. And now tonight and tomorrow night, Lord willing, I want to teach and preach on the blessings of giving. Now, please don't turn off the Bible tonight. The subject of giving has been all throughout the scriptures. There would have never been a tabernacle built in the wilderness unless the people of God knew what it was to give. There would have never been a temple in Solomon's day unless the people of that day gave for the sake of, I feel, probably the greatest majestic building that has ever been built on the face of this earth, Solomon's Temple. And God's way of doing things still centers around the subject of giving. Now, here in the book of Acts chapter 20 tonight, and this will not be an expository message tonight and tomorrow night, the Apostle Paul is at Miletus with the Ephesian elders, and we could do an exposition of the verses tonight. Just for a second, one of my favorite verses is in verse 24 where he says in the middle, that I might finish my course with joy. And boy, that's a thought tonight. But then in verse number 35 tonight, Paul says, I've showed you all things. I have showed you all things. How that so laboring you ought to support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Blessed Lord, tonight, I pray your power and your hand to be about every one of these missionary families. Use them, O God, as they raise their support. And use them, Father, as they witness to the lost. Lord, use them, Father, in their respective fields. And, oh God, tonight, use me to help these. In Jesus' name, amen. I find out there's a lot of reasons through just listening why people don't give. Some folks don't give along the way because, number one, they're unconcerned. Number two, some don't give because they're unspiritual. And some don't give because simply they are unlearned. They have never seen what the Bible says about giving. It's been said before that 20% do 80% of the work in the church, and the same statistic is for the giving. And then likewise, 80% do 20% of the work. And then sometimes along the way, listening to pastors and listening to people, and some people don't give because, number one, they say, well, the church is not using the funds right. Well, if that be true, then that church will give an account to the Lord for it. But as a member of a local New Testament church, the Calvary Baptist Church of King, North Carolina, yes, I am a voting member of our church. But at the same time, if the leadership of my church misuses the funding, I'm not accountable for that. I am accountable that I am faithful in my giving to and through the local church in my missions giving. So that's no excuse whatsoever. Some folks don't give because, when they gave, they weren't bragged on. Like they're supposed to be a special person in the church because they've given so much. And my heart is reminded about that widow that gave a mite and gave her all, and the Lord recognized her, not the others, for everything that they had brought to the New Testament temple. Some folks don't give along the way because they're afraid somebody will talk about it because of their pull in the community. Some folks give along the way. The only reason they give is because it's a tax deduction. And I'm glad that it is right now. But even if the day ever changes, and it probably will, you and I are still obligated to give to the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight our giving is not our house payment. But our giving is for and through the house of God. Stay with me now. My giving is not my phone bill. But my giving is to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. My giving tonight is not my light bill. But my giving is to send the blessed gospel light. As I mentioned the other night, somebody's got to pay the light bill. My giving is not my grocery bill, but my giving is to the local church so that individuals in a church body can be spiritually fed. My giving is not for my medical bills, but my giving is so that I can be spiritually whole in God's sight. Food helps us to be healthy, and man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's the reason you're here tonight, so you can grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. You'll like this one. My giving is not my insurance payment, but my giving is so that people can have assurance of their salvation. My giving is not my boat payment to ride on the water, but my giving is to learn more about the one who walked on the water. My giving is not my golf money, My giving is not my golf money to play the course, but my giving is so I can finish my course with joy. My giving is not what I owe the government, but my tithe is what I owe God, and my faith promise is what I offer God beyond my tithe. My giving is not for my school bill, but my giving is to learn of Christ, who said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. So the blessing of giving, it's a great blessing to be able to tithe to the local church. That's the tenth part. And by the way, we're going to learn probably tomorrow night more what the Bible says about first fruits giving. I was in a church one time and it had a sign. It said this, and you're looking my way, okay? I do know my directions. It says, do you give God, on this wall, it said, do you give God what's right? Or do you give God what's left? We don't give God leftovers. So when it comes to our faith promise giving, we give it for the sake of the evangelization of the world. And it's a blessing to do so. Faith promise giving, number one, is to help the missionaries. It helps get them to the field. I think most folk, and you do, you're versed, you're taught, you're mature. That's what intimidates me so much about being up here. Because you do know, a lot of places I know, they look at me like a calf at a new gate. We have no idea what in the world you're talking about. I can tell that missions is kept before you throughout the year, not just this week. But a lot of folks don't really understand all that a missionary, all that he has to do and buy just to get to the mission field. Folks don't understand that when a missionary goes to the field, a lot of times they have to have a large enough home to be able to start a church in their house. And being an embryonic work, there's nobody to help with all of that. It's just the support that missionary has. And then he's got to have song books. And he's got to have chairs. And he's got to have all those things. I've learned these things firsthand, my wife and I, going a lot of times out to the mission field in the past 8 years and helping missionaries get started. Now, there's so much expense that the average person doesn't think about. If you think they go to the mission field, they start out with something like this. It is not that way. Next month, my wife and I are going to Spain to help a missionary in a couple's retreat. And I talked to him the other day. He said, Brother Maynard, do you realize that because of the exchange rate that every month I actually lose $1,000 of my support? Because of the value of a dollar in Spain, he loses $1,000 of his support. And a lot of missionaries that Ms. Maynard and I talked to on the foreign fields, when they get there, they've really hoped that they have gotten sufficient support, but a lot of times they find out that they don't. And by the way, I've been in several churches lately, and please, just not everything's done the same way at every church. Every church has got a different personality, but some pastors, they not only through their faith promise meeting will take on missionaries, but they're also able to raise the support of all their missionaries because they realize that the cost of living changes for the missionary too from year to year. So our giving is for the sake of the missionaries. Number two, a lot of times our faith promise giving is in regards to special needs, special projects. A lot of mission boards, I wouldn't fall out for the difference, but they encourage their missionaries to develop a work fund. And I've got no problem with that. I absolutely do not. But a lot of times along the way, when a missionary does begin a building project and they've grown to the point to have their own building, they need some extra help with that. So churches along the way will give an offering to a missionary to try to help them with special projects. That's a part of faith promise. And then also, many times churches will, during faith promise like this, will allow folks in the church, and I understand you do that, Pastor Seth, to take trips to the mission field so people can go and partner up with that missionary to help them with canvassing a town, doing soul winning visitation, knocking on doors, and trying to get folks to learn about that new group of people in that town that nobody knows anything about. It is a big difference, friend, when you're the majority in town as a fundamental Baptist, and then you go to the mission field and you're the minority and everybody looks at you as a cult. And these missionaries need help. Faith promise giving helps churches to be able to send teams to maybe help in Mongolia, or to help in northern Iraq, or to help in the Philippines, or to help in Mexico, or wherever God is allowing you to go. I'm telling you, even here in the United States of America, it's a great joy for my wife and I to go to the western states and help these missionaries. Some of you have asked about, and I'm not trying to be funny, some of you have asked about this Bible cover right here. This was made for one for me and one for Miss Maynard by a lady named Julie Nelson, 21 years old, that is a member of an independent Baptist church that's been started in Recluse, Wyoming. Now, you talk about a metropolis, friend. Recluse, Wyoming has got a population of 5. But there's ranchers all around it. And a missionary by the name of Dale Russell has gone to that place and started a work there to try to reach those ranchers in the country mountainsides of Wyoming. And at one time, they met in a building that was a city hall on Monday. On Thursday, it was a square dance hall. And on Sunday afternoon, it's an independent Baptist church. And I'm not trying to be funny. If you don't believe me, you can look at our picture album that we have with us. And in that building right there, because it's wired into it, there's a strobe light and lights that go all across the ceiling of that room. And when you go in there for service, you cut the lights on, that strobe light goes around when you're up there preaching. And the lights are going to the four corners, but that's a good illustration because the light of the gospel revolves around the cross of Calvary and it's supposed to go to all corners of the world. Julie Nelson heard about Jesus and got saved. Her mother and family are faithful to this church. I'm telling you, it's out of the middle of nowhere. But many times they'll have 20 and 25 believers come to a Sunday service there being planted out in the middle of nowhere. You might not know where Recluse, Wyoming is, but God sure does. And folks have gone out west to try to help Brother Russell, and they're getting ready to buy a property right now in Gillette to try to build a church for the glory of God. And he'll need help with that. And missions giving helps with that. It also, faith promise helps to plant the missions conference like this. And so tonight, just please understand tonight that giving is so important. The Lord loveth a cheerful giver. He does. Now, we'll get to point number one tonight. What is the motive of our giving? What should be the deciding factor of the reasons that we give to the cause of Christ? Well, number one tonight, we give because we love the Lord. And that should be the greatest motive. We should not do it for recognition. That is the reason that the faith promise card, does not have a place on it for you to sign your name. It is just simply done, one part of it, to place in your Bible to remind you what God's laid on your heart to give for missions that year. And then the other parts put in the offering plate so the church can plan its missions budget for that year. It's not to be done to glorify man. It's done in a secretive basis between God's heart and my heart. My heart, by the grace of God, should be in cooperation with His heart. And to do what He wants us to do. To And the Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If we love him, if we love him when he has gave so much for us, how can we be so stingy and not be willing to give to him? How he gave himself. He gave us all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. One verse in Scripture says that he gave himself for us. Oh, I could never be a missionary and so far to have to travel. Well, he traveled the farthest distance. He left heaven and came to this earth. He gave it all. I still get excited when I hear the old Dr. Charles Wagner song, "No one ever cared for me like Jesus." We give because we love the Lord. Number two tonight, we give because we love the Lord's church. And what the Lord does, he does through his local church. Amen. We love the church. In the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians in chapter number 16, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, I've given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." The giving was on the first day of the week, and this is written to the church at Corinth. Now, I'm not trying to be funny, but I'm going to tell you what I told a lady one day. If you don't want to know, don't ask, okay? She said this, "Well, Brother Maynard, I sent my tithe to the TV evangelist." She said, "What do you think of that?" And don't ask me if you don't want to know. I said, "Ma'am, the tithe belongs to the Lord, and it belongs to the local church. And the reason I can tell you that it doesn't belong to the TV evangelist is because it's supposed to be given on the first day of the week, and the mail don't run on Sunday." I knew it would take this group over here a little while to get a hold of that. Our motive in giving, we love the Lord. We love the Lord's church. Number three, we give because we love the lost sinner. What greater investment can you make than to make an investment into a lost soul? I thought about it today. Miss Maynard was in the other room, and I was in the other bedroom back there where the desk is studying, and my mind just went all the way back. I've been saved 37 years. I got saved in a youth camp, August the 13th, 1973, a youth camp in Laurel Springs, North Carolina. And I thought about this today. I wonder how much it took in 1973 to operate that week of camp. I wonder what it costed for the food and for the cabins to be ready and everything and for the electricity and all of that. And for all the activities to keep that Moravian youth camp open that week. And I don't know if anybody else got saved or not, but I know on Tuesday night, glory to God, after hearing the gospel Monday night and Tuesday night, I got saved by the grace of God, and every dime was spent was worth it. Hallelujah. How can you put a price tag on a soul? For every gallon of gas it'll take to operate them airplanes, brother, to get in that village to see one soul saved, it'll be worth it all.
all the hardships, all the months and years. 2 years, my brother Kelly, tonight, and 85% of his support. All I can say to that is, wow! Because it's not happening that way anymore much. But for all the miles, and for all the trials, and for the breakdowns on the side of the road, and the wearing out of vehicles, and the wearing out of yourselves to be able to raise fundings in a biblical fashion to get to that mission field, to lead that soul to Christ, it'll be worth it. How can you put a price tag on a printing ministry that prints a gospel tract? Several weeks ago, I might have told this earlier this week, down in South Carolina with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry, we've been working a cell block and done all we could do there. So the guard ushered us over to another cell block, and evidently one of the inmates had done something in that cell block, so they went through lockdown. And when they put them all in lockdown, you're not going to get to talk to them no other way but to walk over to a cell door and try to talk to them through a little crack in the door about that big. But the greatest talking you can do is to have a package of tracts ready and slide it underneath the door. The witness is there when you're gone. How can you put a price tag on that? How can you and I sit back and say we love the Lord and not be willing to give the means that God Himself has given us to be able to tell people about Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world? We give because we love the lost sinner. Then number four tonight, the motive in our giving tonight is also because we lean on God's promises. We do love the Lord. That's number one. We love the Lord's church. We love the lost sinner. We lean on God's promises. Please understand tonight that the reason that I put that as number four is because that one should not be our greatest motive in giving. There are Bible biblical promises that God gives us as we give unto the Lord. Please listen to me tonight. If the Lord never gives us anything in return, ladies and gentlemen, we're debtors to the cross of Christ. I still like the old song. It's an invitation song, but I think it's a good hymn to sing. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. I have all. I abound. My name tonight is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And like the old Christian truck driver said down south, he said, since my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, he said, I'm heaven bound with the hammer down. Amen. Just like the little boy last night in John 6. I guarantee you he didn't go away hungry that day. And by taking fragments home with him, he didn't go hungry for many days. Because the Lord always takes care of His people that give to the cause of Christ. You see, the Bible talks about blessings coming down. Malachi 3:10, bring all the tithes to the storehouse Now, I realize we're not trying to put the church in the Old Testament, but we are trying to draw an application. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. There's a promise of blessings coming down. Number two, the Bible speaks of blessings coming out. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 9. By the way, I'm still in the Bible, amen. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. The Lord sure did give us his best. And that's the reason the Bible teaches first fruits giving. Again, the tithe doesn't come off the bottom. The tithe comes off the top. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. There are blessings coming down. There are blessings coming out. And there are blessings coming from without. Luke 6:38. I love this one. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Now think about this. Think about this. Please think about this. Salvation tonight is a free gift. Amen? And today I was restudying this and I found out the root word of the word gift and the word giver is the same root word. So what is the local church? The local church and the people that make up the church are givers so the missionary can go to the field and give the gift. Because the gift is eternal life. The gift is the gospel. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift is free, but to get the gift to the field is not. Here's the best way I know to illustrate this. Last Christmas, some of the members of our family, we were not able to all be together. So as a result of that, I sent gifts, my wife and I, to our granddaughter, our son and daughter-in-law in Wyoming. We were not able to see them. We sent them the gift, which was free. But it costed someone to get it there. Man, that's good even if I did say it. I thought of that today. And it wasn't that Clayton and Rebecca and Clara Grace had to pay for the gift, because if they had to pay for the gift, it wouldn't be a gift. And to even pay, if they had to pay to get the gift, that wouldn't be a gift. And you and I have not had to pay a thing to go to heaven. The price has already been paid. But what faith promise giving is all about through the local church is being willing to give so that missionaries can deliver the gift. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So maybe in these days, we should really pray about increasing our giving so more people can freely receive the gift. So number one tonight's the motive of our giving. Lord willing, tomorrow night we'll look at the method of our giving and then the multiplication after we give. This service and tomorrow night's service is as serious of a service as you'll ever be in a year, because it affects the church now and it affects the world eternally. Eternally. Let's bow for prayer. Pastor, you come.